Welcome to the Mystic Millennials podcast, hosted by Abby
and Bethany. This is a podcast to share the reality of spirituality and what it is really like to be 20-somethings navigating a spiritual awakening.
Join us weekly as we become your new spiritual BFFs, sharing all about our own journeys while celebrating the amazing people who inspire, motivate, and encourage us to embrace our modern mysticism. Let's get into the episode.
Hello and welcome back to this week's episode of the Mystic Millennials. We're doing a slightly different vibe today because we are doing a little intro before we welcome in our incredibly special guest. When me and Abby were talking about, you know, who we want to bring onto the podcast, it was basically a non-negotiable that this queen was our first interviewee because she's brought us together. She's the reason that we know each other. She is the reason that we've worked together, and she's been such a catalyst for so much growth for me and Abby. And that is the incomparable Jazz Borey.
Yeah. Jazz has been such an integral part of both of our journeys. And I say this throughout the episode, and we've said it in basically every podcast episode, but we mention Jazz all the time. Jazz is an incredible human. She's a modern mystic and a women's empowerment coach, an incredible astrologer. We've both coached with her. She's been our mentor and is still our mentor, I think. Will be forever. this podcast episode was really, really special for us and just such a wonderful moment.
It was beautiful. Just a great conversation. You know, we talk about really everything as well, from, you know, what really helped, you know, Jazz at the start of her journey, to community building within modern spirituality, to entrepreneurship, choosing yourself, moving through failure, the power of mentorship. We really kind of hit on everything. And we're so proud to bring forward this conversation, the first of many, many interviews that we'll be having on this podcast. And we really hope that, you know, you guys get some beautiful insight and value from this, you know, getting to know different parts of the journey from different perspectives, and really just getting to see what can really be possible through a spiritual journey. It isn't always just that solo. It really truly does bring people together, and how much value that has. And I had an absolute blast talking about it. I think I'm going to be smiling the whole day,
yes,
if not the rest of the week.
Yeah, I know both Beth and I, it was a really powerful conversation for both of us. So we're excited for you all to listen to it. And we'll have all of Jazz's information down in the show notes where you can find her if you're not already following the queen already. but so excited for everyone to hear. And without further ado, let's get into the episode.
Amazing.
Welcome back to the Mystic Millennials podcast, everyone. Today is a very special episode, and we're so honored and grateful to have the wonderful, the amazing Jazz Borey on.
Hi, babes. I'm so excited to be here. We were just saying before how this is such a full circle moment. And you guys said that to me, but I definitely feel that too. So I'm just so honored to be here.
Yeah, thank you so much for being on. We're so, so grateful for you for being here. And we both felt really strongly when we started the podcast. We always felt like we have to have Jazz on as our first guest, not only because of the impact you've had on our lives. I think literally every single episode we've recorded, we mention you.
Yeah. You're like, yeah, 100%. We'll just start putting your social medias in all the bios.
Citation, Jazz Borey. But also, without you stepping into your light and stepping into your purpose, it wouldn't have facilitated Beth and I meeting and stepping into our purpose and stepping into this podcast. So that just feels really beautiful. And we love you're here.
I love that you've said that, because, and I know you guys have heard me say this all the time, but I say that to my clients, like, people are waiting for you to get your shit together to like help them. You know what I mean? Like, I say that all the time. And so you guys are really kind of experiencing what that actually means. And I've experienced that with my, you know, with my mentors too. I've met some incredible friends, you guys even through my mentors, you know. So it's such a beautiful flow and effect. And I think that particularly for women and the world that we live in, I think a lot of us got to connect and I guess collaborate, yeah, but also just create community, I think, with women that we would never would have unless we kind of put ourselves to our edges. And I think that that's really important. So I take that beautiful sentiment that you just said now, and yeah, just, it definitely makes me feel like I'm in alignment.
Yeah. We love an aligned moment.
Yes.
Beautiful. So before we jump in, we're just letting Jazz know we love to start off the episodes with our win and our whinge for the week. So Jazz, special guest honors, you can go first, my love.
So my win, let me start with my whinge.
Okay.
Yeah, this last week has been really full on. We've just come out of lockdown here in New South Wales. So I have so many whinges. Like, I definitely feel like because we can build up, like when you're in lockdown, like you can build stuff up in your brain so massively. And so I did find myself getting let down. I'm going to give you like a real trivial one. Like, I had one this morning before we jumped on. I wanted to like literally break my computer. But one that was like, kind of like a moment for me was obviously like I haven't gotten my eyebrows done in like 4 months, and I love getting my eyebrows done. Like, it's literally one of my favorite things to do. I've also just moved, well, I've been up here for like almost 6 months now, but with the pandemic and stuff, like I just haven't really had the chance to, like, you know, get my people here. So I was like, I'm so desperate, I'm gonna find a new place. So I try this new place. It was literally the worst experience of my entire life.
Oh no.
I was literally there. And like, I mean, all women will know this. Wax and tint. How long do you reckon that takes?
It's like a solid minimum, 20 minutes.
Yeah, minimum 20.
Yeah.
My appointment was at 12:15. I was back in my car at 12:21.
Oh dear. Oh dear.
I was like,
that's like time to tint.
I know. Literally, that's like half the amount of time that to tint. I was like having a tantrum in my car. Like, I wanted to get on the floor and like fully roll around like a 2-year-old and have a tantrum. And I had that moment where I was like, oh my God, like, this is crazy. And I was like, why am I so angry? Why am I so like disappointed and frustrated? And just like, I was not okay about my eyebrows. Apart from the fact that it was just not a great experience, right? I usually can just shake those sorts of things off. I'm really like, whatever, I'll just go somewhere else. And I realized that it was like, I've been building that up in my mind for 4 months. It's like a party or a wedding, or like, I was putting that much weight on it. But oh my God, we'll never go back there again. No. It was the audacity. It was just so bad. And I was like, not okay. So that was my whinge. And then my win would probably be the fact that we are out of lockdown now and I got to see my family. So that was really exciting. I got to meet, I guess she's my niece by default now, Dan's niece. Got to meet her. She's just been born. So it's really been beautiful to like catch up with friends for the first time. And I really would say that that's been my win. I mean, I've had lots of wins over the last week, but that one is definitely the most sentimental. So that's me.
I love that. I love that so much. Abby, what's your win and your whinge?
Beautiful. So funny that your whinge was about your eyebrows, because last episode, my win, I got my eyebrows done and that was my win. So sorry. That
lucky
was...
you. I
know. Right?
Must be nice.
Yeah. But I totally feel you. The eyebrows thing is just such it's such a self-care moment, and and it's just like it makes such a difference. But I will also start with my whinge because it occurred right before this meeting. So I am doing I've committed to a gym challenge, getting back into the gym after lockdown, really committing to my health and my body again, because that's something I definitely abandoned during lockdown. I went for walks, but other than that, I was pretty sedentary. So I've gotten all my really wonderful groceries already, and prepared all my meals and stuff. And I went to have a little bit of a wrap before this, and my boyfriend's fucking eaten all of my wraps.
Yep. Why do they do that?
Absolutely over it. I was like, Jake, I don't think you understand these wraps. That was very important to me. So that's my whinge. I've gotten over it now. I just had a sandwich. It's fine.
No, Dan does that to me, but with like sweets. Well, not sweets. Oh, like he'll do it with like chocolates. Shapes. You know what I mean? Like, yes. Or chips or stuff. Like I'll buy myself like a treat. And then he, like, before I've even thought about it, I'm like, oh, like I sometimes think that I like didn't buy it. Like, yeah. I forgot to buy it because it just doesn't, I don't even see it.
Yeah.
I know. Again, tantrum moment, right?
Tantrum moment. Absolutely. Yeah. I did have a tantrum moment. It really overtook me. So that's my whinge. My win is that I have received my beautiful 2022 planner. Oh, my Virgo good. Rising soul loves a good paper planner. I got the Emma Kate Co. I don't know if anyone knows it. I'm obsessed with planners. So I know basically all of the ones on the markets. Australian, I know all the Australian ones. I know the US ones. I'm obsessed. So I received that today. I don't have it near, but it's a beautiful pumpkin spice color, beautiful premium paper. There's really nothing better. So that's my win. That's my win and my whinge. Yeah.
I love that for you.
I love that for me. Beth.
So much. Well, look, I'll start with my whinge. Why, you know, buck the curve. My whinge for the week is that, well, it kind of goes hand in hand with my win, because my win is that I'm getting my car back after 2 months of needing a repair. My whinge is that it was supposed to be 2 days ago and I still haven't heard from them. So no. I'm kind of just, I was going to borrow a car this week. I teed it all up and then they were like, no, you're going to get the car. So I was like, oh my God, I won't worry about it. I'll just like, wait. And now I'm like carless and like, I feel like I'm like 15 again. Cause I keep having to be like, Mom, can you give me a lift? And I'm like, oh my God, I hate this.
Yes. Yeah. That's not something you want to reverse on. Once you get that independence, you don't want to rely on that again.
No, hey, it's not been.
I had an ex-boyfriend who couldn't drive, like who actually, fun fact about me, up until Dan, I've never dated anybody who drove. One person did, but they had a bad accident. So they just like kind of refused to.
Didn't. Yeah.
But like literally I've never really ever dated someone with their own car.
Wow. That's so interesting. Like,
before Dan.
Interesting.
And that was what I used to say to them all the time. I'm like, how do you like get groceries? Like you're a 20 something year old man, like living alone. Like, how do you get groceries? Like,
that's
how
so
do
true.
You, how do you legit. Get to the train station? Like, how do you do things? I just like, yeah, I don't understand how people don't do that. Maybe it's just cause we're all from like pretty big like cities, or I don't know what it is, but I would not be down for that.
No. And I mean, I'm originally from Orange, and literally on your 16th birthday, you would go to, what's it called? Roads
the American RMS, Service. I think RMS, is what it's yes. called now. Yeah.
Take your test, get your L's, get those hours up in the year and get your P's as soon as you can. That was like, as soon as I could, I was doing that.
Abby, the irony is that this man was from Bathurst.
Oh,
I'm from Bathurst. How
like
weird
literally, that but like not even Bathurst. Vibes. He was from like 45 minutes west of Bathurst, what like the? Town of 100. And
how did he drive. Do anything? I don't understand.
I don't know.
I like, doubt there's much public transport out that
he
way.
He went to boarding school, so that was my thing. I was like, oh, he didn't have anyone to help him. No, true. Lazy.
I went to boarding school as well. It sure, it slowed down the process, but I got it done.
You make it happen.
It happen. Exactly. Anyway. Okay, we love going through our win and whinge, and so sorry about that, Beth. That was both your win and whinge, right?
Yes, yeah, okay. That's both. They're part and parcel.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Let's get into it. So, Jazz, we have literally mentioned you on every single episode, so people mm-hmm. are aware of who you are. but I would love for you to speak on just a little bit about what you do and your mission and purpose and how that's reflected in the tools and modalities that you use in your business.
Yeah. Great question. I love the way that you framed that, because, you know, what do I do? I think what I do is my mission, right? And my biggest mission is really just to empower and inspire 21st century women to fearlessly pursue themselves. And what I'm actually realizing, and I was saying this to you guys before we jumped on, is that you kind of caught me in a really cool moment, I think, in my business and in my career in general, because what I'm starting to realize is, you know, my purpose is deeply connected to career. It's something that I'm really passionate about. I've always been passionate about business, well before, you know, that's kind of how I got into personal development and the inner work in the first place, is I was in sales. And so when you're in sales, and I think when you're in business, you kind of get this, you have to do kind of inner work that comes along with it.
Absolutely.
And what I think is really powerful about that experience now, looking at, you know, I've had this business for just over 2 years. It's basically like 2 years to the day almost, pretty much, that I launched my business, is that my favorite conversations that I have are around purpose and are around business and conscious business and women in business and money and all of that. But what I've understood about, you know, my own journey is that that can never be truly aligned and feel good and feel exciting unless we have some essence of soul. So I also work with clients from like an inner perspective. I do a lot of inner work with my soulful self-mastery method. That's really like a three-step method that both of you guys have gone through to really get to, you know, the foundations of self, basically, and to really shift out of that passenger seat into our driver's seat, because from there, that's when we can start to, you know, look at our purpose and actually put that stuff into action. If we don't have that beautiful foundation first, I find that it can be really hard. And I know that from my own journey. For those of you who don't know my story, I mean, I've had many lives when it comes to my career and what I do, but I started my life basically in the entertainment industry. And that's something that I really did and still continue to do on some levels, with music and the creative parts of the creative arts, I guess. And then to support that, I ended up in corporate sales. So when you're an independent artist, you pay for everything and everything's really expensive.
Yeah.
So I sat down with myself and I said, okay, what can I do where I can earn the most amount of money? And I looked at sales because it's commission-based. So I went to corporate sales and I did really, really well at that. And that's really when I thought I kind of hit the jackpot in a sense. Like, it was really that moment where I started to look at my purpose, because I was like, wow, I'm really good at this sales thing. I really like business. I don't know but I don't like working for somebody else. I cannot stand authority. Like, I'm just not, like, I was not very good at school. Like, I just cannot do authority. So I knew that that wasn't good, which is why I wanted to do the music thing and blah, blah, blah. But that also felt kind of off too. And that's when I started to look at my purpose. And what I had to do during that part is really come back to basics and say to myself, okay, who am I? Mm. What's holding me back? What do I need to love, accept, and forgive? And then what do I want to become? What are my desires? And how do I empower myself to actually go out and do that? So my mission, kind of coming back to your question, my mission is about empowering women to fearlessly pursue themselves. What I'm realizing in this moment, through teaching both of you guys in this course that I'm teaching right now called Purpose to Paycheck, is that I just love helping women in their purpose and turning that into a business, or turning that even into, you know, an aligned career. Mm. And so as I step more fully into my business, it's something that I'm so excited to bring forth and really, I guess, concentrate on in my business. I will always do that. But the one part I'm not mentioning is that that inner work and that soul work, the soulful part that I keep talking about, comes back to astrology. Astrology is my main modality that I utilize to really help women fearlessly pursue themselves, to understand themselves, to gain self-awareness. And I really work with pragmatic mysticism. So I'm not here, you know, I don't do readings anymore, but even when I'm talking about astrology, even on an Instagram live or something, I'm not here to kind of blow smoke up your ass and just kind of tell you information. I really want to make it practical. So that's another passion of mine. That's something that's also really integral in my business, is utilizing the soulfulness through astrology, but also really melding the mystical, the spiritual with the practical and the pragmatic. So utilizing that information to actually give you things that you can do to step into your alignment, which I think is where all that intersection with career and business and soul, it's all of that. And if you didn't know, I'm a Gemini, as you can probably fucking tell. So yeah, I mean, I'm kind of not all over the place. I think my mission always brings me back to what it is that I want to do. And these are just kind of vehicles and ways in which I do that, which always evolve and change. But I just love women. And I think more women need to be in their power. And I think a lot of that, particularly for 21st century millennial women, we think a lot about our careers, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But I also think that it's important that we feel aligned whilst we do that. And so does that answer your question?
Absolutely. Oh and my gosh. More. Amen. Yes.
And we everything else. Love.
I was like, and I'll shut up now.
Never shut up. I was just Never. Sitting here and I was just like, I could probably see you for like 2 hours and just I love to you talk. To like, Jess. It's just so good.
I mean, careful what you wish for.
Yeah. And I think that sums up so well. I mean, why me and Abby wanted to bring a podcast together. You know, this is called The Mystic Millennials. This is for, you know, young people who are starting to discover their inner mystic and, you know, start to realize what actually does light them up. And what does make them shine? You know, me and Abby, we recorded a podcast yesterday on, you know, people pleasing and how, you know, it can be really hard to choose yourself. And I think that's something that you lead through example with. And that's something that I've gone through so much with your work is, you know, choosing myself is the best decision that I can make. And I feel like that really is it, you know, helping women really fearlessly choose themselves and pursue what it is that they really desire and want to create in their life.
Mm. Yeah, it's so important. And I think that, you know, women have been oppressed. Like, this is a thing, right? I think we have to understand that even though, you know, and astrology kind of brings us back to this, you know, we have placements in our chart that are generational. And for all millennials, basically all millennials, and even some of the Gen Zs, I mean, they've got some stuff happening in Aquarius, but we have Neptune and Uranus in Capricorn. So because those planets, for those of you who are kind of like just beginning, those planets move really, really slowly. So they tend to be like a generational thing. And I've coined that to be like a little millennial stamp that all millennials have. And it really points back to this idea that we want to be our own boss, right? Mm-hmm. We want to find safety and security through the work that we do, but we also want it to be aligned with our purpose. We want to do it differently. That's definitely that Uranus and that Neptune coming together. And so I think you guys have totally hit the mark here. And I love the mission behind this podcast because it's a massive part. Soul is a massive part of your life that nobody ever really talks about. Like, we've never really been taught that that is for everyone. It's only for religious people or woo-woo girls or like whatever. Like, that's a whole nother conversation, but we're not really taught in like the society that we live in that the soul part is as important as the body part or the mind part.
Yes.
And in my experience, when I was missing that is when I found myself seemingly having it all. you know, I mentioned before I worked corporate. I was in a six-figure corporate job. I drove around in a Mercedes-Benz for free. I lived in a penthouse apartment in Sydney, looking at, like, you know, the Sydney skyline. I had the boyfriend. I had all of the things. And yet I felt purposeless and I didn't feel like I loved myself. And it's because I wasn't connected to that inner essence. And so the mystic stuff, the soul stuff, the spirituality stuff is so important to millennials. Like, it's a really big part as to, like, why we're here. Like, it's part of our job.
Yeah, absolutely. I resonate with that so deeply. I feel like one day I seemingly woke up and realized, holy shit, I don't really know who the fuck I am. I feel deeply dissatisfied, but where the fuck do I start? Like, how do I get to this point? So I think that's a really great lead into, you know, if you could speak on your journey with exploring all of these mystical tools and how you came to such a point where it is so empowering and also pragmatic in your life.
So for me, it all started just before my spiritual awakening. Well, what I will say is that internally, like in my own world, I think I was very open to mysticism. I look back at my life now and think to myself, like, I was always just like, you know, I remember like playing potions with my like best friend when I was little.
Same.
And like, I was always like, especially when I got into my like late teens, like I was always down to like go and see a psychic. I saw many, you know, I got my cards read like probably once a year. Just things like that, you know, and I was always kind of drawn. And then in 2017, I went to New Orleans, which is very much has like witch culture and, you know, all those sort of like taboo things. And I bought my first tarot deck. And I kind of ended up just like, you know, collecting dust. I played around with it a little bit. I always was really intrigued with it. Hang on one sec. We're just going to let Ziggy
the big come star.
On. Come on.
The real star of the show.
Let's go. He's yeah, here. Absolutely. There we go. He's here. So yeah, like I always was really interested in it, but it was never really like a thing. You know what I mean? Like people wouldn't like, my friends would never have described me as like the girl who was into the woo-woo stuff. Like that's not how they would have described anything to me really. But it's funny because I look back at I actually found some journals from when I was like 15 and I was like writing down all the things that I was grateful for and the people in my life and the friends that I had and like the things that I was I look back and I was doing all these like personal development things. I was like, where the fuck did I find this? Like, why was I doing this?
Love.
So I look back now in hindsight and go, okay, yeah, it definitely was something. But it wasn't until probably 2018 I went on a retreat. So this is when I was like at the height of my career in sales and I was kind of starting to go, okay, like what's going on here? Went on this retreat and had my spiritual awakening. And it was a self-love retreat. It was all women. We were there for a week in the jungle in Bali, basically just like crying our eyes out and like having this really amazing experience. But I didn't really know why I was there. Like I showed up and I was just like, oh, like, again, it was just so like unintentional. I just kind of like followed this thing. So anyway, I'm there and I have this amazing experience. It's where I learned how to meditate. I started to open myself up to, you know, spiritual practices like manifestation. We did a sound bath, like stuff like that. Like I'd never done anything like that before. And I remember calling my boyfriend at the time and I said to him, I had a really powerful experience. Like I said, it was definitely my spiritual awakening. And I said to him, like, I need you to understand that this stuff is my jam. And if you don't get it, or if you're like not on board, like if you're not like with me on this, then like I'm choosing this basically. He was like, yeah, totally. Turns out wasn't really okay with it. Because from there, I kind of came home and just really went on this journey of like self-discovery. Because I'd really done the self-love work there and the releasing and the forgiveness and all that. And it was through that I did so many things. I mean, I got a coach, you know, I read The Universe Has Your Back. I started journaling. I started meditating every day. I started doing yoga. I started, you know, doing all this stuff. And I decided to get my natal chart read. And I remember it was a really odd way that I got my chart read, because it was my boyfriend at the time's best friend's mom who read my chart, but he didn't tell me. It was his sister from like out of town who like never comes here. And we just like saw each other and she was like, oh, my mom's an astrologer. It was very like weird how I found out about this woman. Long story short, had my chart read. This woman ended up becoming my mentor, my teacher in astrology. I worked with her for 2 years and apprenticed under her. And yeah, I had my chart read and I just basically, we read it over 2 sessions and I was like, how do I do what you do? And she was like, well, you can apprentice with me. So that is really where I guess I started to really utilize the modalities and look at them in a practical way. And what I realized when I started learning, and even she said, she's like, you know, you really pick this up like really quickly. Like I was like, because we would do our lessons and then I would just go off and research. I kind of like jump ahead. And so I'd come back and I'd be like, oh yeah, this, this, and this. And so I was kind of moving faster and it was kind of integrating. And I realized like, oh, this is a gift that I have. Like I can understand this. But what, because I'd been so into personal development, what I'd realized was like, oh, okay. Like, so what would a Gemini actually do? What would a Gemini moon actually do? Or what would a Mars in the 10th house actually do to start to step into that? Because I found myself asking her that all the time. I wanted that practical. And being able to kind of meld my personal development stuff in with that, and because I'd just been obsessed with that for the past like 5 years before that, it all kind of just kind of came together. And so I really utilize astrology, even like the moon cycles, you know, like what can you actually do? What kind of practices or even just commitments to self can you start to actually put in place to allow you to actually move forward and take action, right? And also doing that with yourself first, like putting yourself first, putting self always in mind. I think we sometimes think that we have to kind of do all this to be better for people around us. And I really like to kind of bring people back to the self, because if you deal with that, then everything else will kind of work out around you. And so it's, for me, it's really been about how can I utilize this information to actually help people to grow, because it helped me. I mean, through understanding my Venus in Aries, in the fifth house, I was able to really work through some wounds around my relationship to relationships and the independence that I crave, my codependence. I have a stellium in Gemini hanging out over my descendant, you know, like, and it's like all my main ones. So that really helped me with my like codependence with my family that I was really struggling with. There's so much that I was able to really see. And that's why I love astrology and utilize astrology. I mean, I also do past life regression therapy. I also do breath work. But these are just kind of more ways, because the other thing as well I will mention is the astrology that I use is evolutionary astrology, which works more off this idea that this is what your soul has asked for in this lifetime. So if it's this lifetime, that it implies that there's a lifetime before this. So that's why I went and did past life regression. And yeah, just really kind of making sure that I have these beautiful practices and modalities that help my clients because they've helped me. So I hope that that answers your question.
Yeah, absolutely. So powerful. I love that.
Yeah. And I also really love like something that just stood out so well for me, like that knowing that you had to call your partner and say, hey, this is what I'm doing now. Cause that can be a really tough part. That's something me and Abby have spoken about, is you get so into these modalities, you realize how life-changing they are. And then you realize that no one else in your life knows about them, cares about them, likes them, understands it. You know what I mean? And it can feel kind of isolating. I think that's just so powerful that you were like, no, like, this is me. I'm choosing myself. This is the modalities that I'm going to be bringing forward. Because that can be something that can be really scary. And that's something we talk about is, you know, it can be really scary to be bringing forward these things that we're taught that are woo-woo and taboo, and that we shouldn't, you know, that only like weird old people like utilize them. And that's something that's really cool that's coming up now, is that so many people are, it is becoming quite mainstream. So many people are accessing these sorts of tools and modalities.
Yeah, I think it's, I think that's thanks to Gen Z, I think too. You know,
so
like
open-minded,
I will
say
they're just so like this idea of like religion or like just like the structures, like very Capricorn, right? Like the structures that you know, we have, you know, whether it's just like it's, you have to be in an organized religion or an atheist, there's no in between. And like spirituality and just saying that you're a spiritual person is like its own, is becoming its own definition. And I think millennials have really paved the way for that. And I think Gen Z with their like, you know, Aquarius energy that they have a lot in their charts are really kind of coming forth and just being like, okay, like let's just like fuck all the rules and make some new ones. But I will say as well, like, you know, I look back when I tell that story, I always like pause because I don't know why I felt the need to have that conversation with him. Like looking back in hindsight, I think to myself, like, why did I feel like I had the need to kind of almost give him a bit of an ultimatum when he hadn't actually shown me any of that before? And I think it's because my intuition was like really popping forward for the first time, for the first time. I mean, relationships have been something that I've, I mean, I've got a stellium in the seventh. So like I relationships have been my biggest teachers in this life. And, you know, he was like a pretty like chill, like not chill dude. He definitely was not a chill dude, but he was very accepting of me. You know, I'm a lot like, and I understand that, like I'm big energy. Like I get that. Right. And I've always kind of understood that about myself in relationships. But what I think was really powerful with that experience is that this is what happens when you, this is what happens when you step into your authenticity. A lot of people don't realize that like people fall away and it's not always easy. And I'm not saying that I never asked my partner to like come and do retreats with me, or, I mean, that would have been lovely, but like, I never asked him to like, you know, get into all this with me. But what my spiritual awakening led to the demise of our relationship, because what had happened, it was not because he didn't like the same things as me, it's that there was an opposition, right? So what's funny now is that now I am a full-blown astrologer and I do all this stuff online. My boyfriend is a scientist. My current boyfriend is a scientist, right? So it's like, it makes me like look at this stuff is a mirror. Right? It's a mirror for other people, and it allows you to really start to step into yourself. And if that's not in vibrational alignment with the people around you, they're going to fall away. I mean, you can hold on to them as tightly as you want, but I'm so glad that I let that go because I was able to really find someone who just allows me to explore and values exploration. And that doesn't matter like what our views are, like we actually always find some sort of common ground, whereas this stuff can be really triggering for people. And I think we have to remember that. And also know my mentor, one of my mentors and friends, Chris, he actually said the other day, like maybe it's not their journey, that's not their soul's journey to like deal with all this. Maybe their soul's journey is to trigger you into your spiritual awakening. So it's very powerful, I think, when you look at it from a relationship perspective, because it can be a lot to feel really lonely and to feel like you don't have that support. And it's a big part of the journey that I don't think a lot of like enough people talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's something that I went through really heavily and that we worked through together a lot during my coaching. I was so scared to tell my partner about anything.
I know, I remember, babe.
He didn't even know I had a coach for like a year.
Oh my God, that's crazy.
I know. But I think especially when I started my business, I realized that I can't go into a business with that energy, because anyone, I want whoever wants to find me to find me. And if I'm energetically hiding that from who I'm closest, seemingly closest to, you know, I'm not going to be in alignment with that mission. So I love what you said. And my Saturn returns in this is going to be all around relationships. I've got my Saturn in the seventh house. So I'm so glad that I'm tackling that now, even though it is really good. Uncomfortable.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, that's actually really good.
Cause it would fuck me up if I hadn't addressed that. So I love that. We were talking before about literally you being in your power has brought so many people together. And I'd love to hear your thoughts on, you know, community in this time of modern spirituality and how you feel about your role as someone who is bringing that community together, who is bringing people together like Beth and I.
You should give you credit notes on the pod, because really.
Okay, Krita.
Yeah.
Jazzbury.
I mean, you know, I would love to sit here and say that it was a big driver. But again, to kind of bring it back to my chart, my Jupiter is in the 11th in Libra. Okay. So when I was thinking about my purpose and my business and how I expand and how I teach, knowing that I wanted to just work for myself, I actually didn't really think about the 11th house part and this idea of community. And I'm a Gemini, which also really rules like community and like neighborhood and all that sort of stuff. And like you're kind of like siblings and stuff like that. Gemini is deeply connected to those sort of connections. So when I walked into my business, I really looked at it as like a one-on-one experience. So particularly when I first launched, I was just doing readings. So I would jump into these readings with people. And I really viewed that Libra 11th house of, oh, you're here to make lots of one-on-one connections, which is true. It's why I decided to become a coach. It's why I love working with people one-to-one. It's so fun for me. And I love that experience. Like, I would much rather work with someone one-to-one than in a group. Like, I'll pay the extra money. I just love that one-on-one experience. And I think maybe that is that luxury sort of element that Libra energy brings. But as I started to do that, I did start to feel the call to figure out how everything I do, I look back at my own experience. So my spiritual awakening was at a retreat, surrounded by other women. When I built my business, I actually did a course that was based around finding your purpose. So I was surrounded by other women. So I always look back at my own experience and have a look at the things that helped me and what was going on. And so I did feel this call to bringing forth some form of community. So I started holding women's circles. That was something, that was one of the first things that I did online during the pandemic last year. And that was really powerful. And then I was still doing all this one-on-one work. And then I launched, and I'll be very candid with you, I launched a group coaching program. Nobody bought it. It failed. It completely failed. And it did make me think to myself, like, ooh, like, why did that fail? Like, what's, like, I truly believe the universe never says no. It just says not yet. Or, you know, I have something better in mind. And so I was like, okay, what was it about this what was I missing? And what I realized is that my clients really wanted that one-on-one experience still. Like, there was something energetically that I needed to still learn in order to really step into that. And that was last year that I did that, I think, or maybe at the beginning of the year. But the community piece is so important, right? I was like, no, maybe I'm not supposed to be a community leader. Maybe I'm just supposed to be like, you know, like a Nikki Cosmo and just do one-on-ones. And like, that's like the bulk of my business. But I was like, no, like I love teaching. I love teaching classes. I love teaching groups. I found myself really, really energized. I was teaching Cosmic Cash, a course I was doing. Like I just was dabbling in this and loving it. And I was like, no, like I want to do this. And I came back to that placement in my chart and I was like, no, like this is for you. Like you are here to help maybe other people. And this is why I fucking love this so much. Maybe you're here to create tribes so that other people can make partnerships. Because Libra is all about partnership. 11th house is all about tribe and societies. So I have some cool things coming up next year around the word society. So I'm not going to talk about that in a minute, but it is definitely something that I think is so, so important and massive and has been massive, particularly to my business. So when I came up with Purpose to Paycheck, which is both a course that you guys are both in,
we love it.
It's no surprise to me that it all fell into place when I really started to work at it from this more purpose, career, business sort of energy. And I really think the community, particularly in online entrepreneurship, spiritual entrepreneurship, conscious business, we are paving the way for something new. Like this is like, firstly, it's woman-led, which is new. We think that that's not new, but it's still really, really new. Like think 5 years ago, 10 years ago, no, right? This wasn't really a thing that was happening. So understanding that like, it's fucking scary. It's putting all of us to our edge to step into our purpose, to step into our dharma, to step into our careers, to step into ourselves fearlessly. We must have community around that. It's so, so important. If I went on that, if I had gone on that retreat on my own, like, and just done this one-on-one experience with a shaman or something, I don't know if that experience would have been the same. Not saying that it would have been worse or better or whatever, but I'm so grateful that I was surrounded by women. The people I've been able to collaborate with have helped me build my business. And I don't think that's just because I have a Libra 11th house and I'm a Gemini stellium. Like, sure, I think that probably helps, but I think that that's something so much greater. It's so important to have community with women who are doing shit that's literally changing the vibration of the earth. Like, it's very serious. People don't understand that this is really serious and we're literally changing the world. Just by doing it before you, just by putting up your website, just by changing your Instagram bio, just by you are adding to the solution. You are becoming a part of the revolution before you even booked a client. Like the clients will come, like if you show up and all the things like, right, like the opportunities will come, you'll create them, like it will happen.
Yeah.
But having that community around you is so, so important. And whilst it wasn't something I consciously thought of in the beginning, it is definitely something I'm realizing I'm extremely passionate about. And I think is evolving in my role. You know, I think that we all evolve in our roles in society. And I am definitely feeling like I'm being called to leading community, holding space for, you know, groups of women. It's something that I'm feeling is a desire in my heart, and it's getting stronger and stronger. And so I'm definitely excited to bring forth all the ideas and ways in which I'm going to be doing that. And does fear come up? 100%. Like, I definitely feel like I'm kind of almost coming full circle back in my business where I feel like how I felt at the beginning. But that also is a signal to me now, knowing what I know now, that something amazing is about to happen. Yes. You know, and so I think leading a community, if you feel really called to that, you have to listen to it, but you also have to look at, you know, your own journey and say, okay, well, what needs to happen first or what needs to happen next? So I hope that answers your question.
Absolutely. I loved everything you said. And
I always have to double check that I'm answering the question. Like, so forgive me if I like say that every single time, but I just like to double check because I can really go off.
Quite honestly, even if you don't answer the question, throughout that, I was like, oh, like literally chills throughout that. So, you know, we love whatever comes through.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, yeah, answer the question and more so. And I really loved that you touched on, it's exactly like you said, with your experience with community. Like if you had not done that group retreat, like that just opened up your eyes to the power of community. I had a really similar experience. You know, the first time I really started to step into my power, you know, I'd been working one-on-one. I think I was starting my first one-on-one series with yourself, maybe been doing it for like a couple of weeks. And I went to this retreat super out of the blue. I knew one person there. And when I got there, I realized I had another friend there randomly. And it completely shook me out of my comfort zone. And that was my spiritual. That's when I realized how much power I had within myself. That's where I realized I had so much self-love. And it was deeply transformational. And yeah, it is something that you can be super passionate, like that I am super passionate about. Me and Abby both are. Because it can feel kind of lonely, the spiritual journey. And yeah, I think it's so beautiful how you are really bringing that forward, you know, as your business evolves, because it has, I mean, in the last year, you know, since I started working with you, it has evolved and transformed so much. And I guess that's just you really tapping into that Gemini energy of really just evolving and following that highest excitement with whatever comes through.
Yeah, I love that you say that, because, you know, this year I actually made a commitment to step back from learning. So I had a coach at the beginning of the year, which was amazing and would never take that back. But after that, I started to feel like, oh, fuck, like, what if I don't, like, I need to have a coach, right? Like, because then I won't be supported and I won't be able to be moving forward and I won't grow if I don't have someone holding my hand the whole time. And I was like, hang on, that's not super empowering. Like, that's not what I'm teaching. I'm teaching women to, you know, stand in their power. And I was realizing I was holding my power back. And so I want to kind of share this, because I made, like, apart from therapy, that was the only thing that I stayed in. I didn't really even do free offerings with people. Like, I was like, no, I'm standing in my wisdom. I don't need to learn anything more right now. Not that I know everything and I all that sort of stuff, but I needed a moment to really hold my own power.
Yes.
Right. And if you're not in that position where you don't know how to do that, like, I wouldn't have known how to do that unless I'd had all that coaching beforehand or had all that support. And I still had the support of other women. So people like Missy Mitchell and Maddie Bolch and, you know, even people like Natalia Benson and Rochelle Fox and people like that who have been my mentors and also my friends. Like, without that, stepping into that power, stepping into that teacher seat and everything that I've created in the last year, because yeah, Beth, it's been pretty fucking wild ride, but I wouldn't have been able to do that in such a powerful way if I hadn't had that. And so I think it speaks to the support that you get, but you want to grab that support so that you can step into your power, and you're grabbing these mentors and these support networks and these communities as a way to put the cherry on top, not it be the cake. That's what I say all the time in coaching. It's like,
yeah,
these things can be cherries on top. Like, this is sprinkle energy. This is like choc chip energy, not, you know, the beautiful like buttercream cake. You are the cake, right? So, and we have to really like think about that when we're stepping into our power, because I think it's really important, because otherwise you're not building trust within yourself. You're building trust in other people, and that's actually taking you further away from your power. So I just wanted to kind of like say that as well after you said that, just to really drive that home with everybody, because there's no way I could have done it without that community, but I had to switch that. And I think because I did that, that's why I was able to really get this beautiful new sense of clarity and be called so openly into this new evolution by the universe, and even just by myself, my higher self, is because I kind of created that space, but it had a beautiful foundation underneath it.
Yes, absolutely. I love that. And I think that was the beginning of my journey, even going into coaching. That was like my hermit mode, almost coming back into myself, because prior to that, as I've said, I was taking on everyone else's opinions, fears, judgments, whatever, and defining myself via externalities rather than knowing myself and knowing my own energy. So I love that that's reflected in multiple ways throughout your evolution. And I can definitely resonate with that as well. Even recently, I've just recommitted back, and Jazz knows because she's been my accountability, but recommitted back to my morning practice, and having that time to come back to my own energy has brought up so many opportunities to receive ideas. So staying in my own stillness and in my own energy has allowed me to receive more, which has been amazing. And I love everything you said during that.
Yeah. I see that as well. And I said that this is why I like always prescribe morning practices to everyone. I always say it's good to like get your mind right and meditate in the morning, because then you'll be peaceful. Like that's all really great, but like, why?
Well, yes.
Because it's an act of self-love. It is particularly for women, it's a rebellious act of self-love to say, no, me first. Me first, then you. Yeah. Yes. Putting my own oxygen mask on before somebody else's. Like, that's what you're actually doing with a morning practice. So that's why I say, like, it doesn't matter whether like it takes 30 seconds or it takes 3 hours. Like, it's the same thing. Because it's that consistency of just kind of stepping into yourself. And when you center yourself in your own life, the universe fucking loves that shit.
Yeah, absolutely. And all the intentionality behind it. I love that. What you said before about, you know, having experienced an offer fail and still going ahead and like following what you want to do, I would love for you to talk more about, I mean, even just about failure in itself, but also the process of surrendering to that universal or intuition calling you to these different directions and to all of these different things that you've gone, different offerings you've gone through throughout the year and evolutions through your business.
So failure is something. It was actually quite funny because when I first started my business, I mean, that failure happened in March, I think, of this year, or maybe February. So I'd had the business for like a good year and I hadn't really failed. I was like, and that's the thing, is I was kind of anticipating something to fail. Like, I was kind of like, I just say I want stuff and then it just kind of happens. Like,
you're like, you know, it doesn't really seem right.
Yeah. Like, I was like, okay, guess I'm manifesting. Like, it was just kind of, and I was, and I think that it was down to the fact that, you know, I don't fail that often in this business and I surprise myself every fucking time when it happens. But, you know, when I speak to failure, I think it comes down to, and the one thing I really learned during that failure is that being detached from the outcome or letting go of your expectations is so important in business, right? Because it's not about you, right? If you're in business, you're in the business of serving people, right? You need customers. Unless you're, I don't know, maybe you have some other way, like something else that buys from you. A person has to buy from you, right? In order to have a business. So it's not about you. So when I realized, and that was actually something that my coach at the time had said to me, because I was like, I don't understand why this thing failed. Like, I did everything that I normally do. I asked my audience, like I even did extra things because I was working with a coach, right? And she just said, like, it's not about you. Like, either there was something that you missed during the process from a technical perspective, doesn't sound like that's what's happening, or that's just not what your audience wants. So it's actually not your failure. Like, it's got nothing to do with you. Right?
Yeah.
So when I started to look at, you know, business through that lens, and I listened to a podcast that, yeah, basically was kind of saying like expectations, like it just didn't meet your expectation. Like, you put an expectation that maybe just wasn't realistic, wasn't grounded in the truth, wasn't right for you, and your expectation wasn't met. You didn't fail, because I learned so much from that. And it was probably more from a spiritual perspective than anything else.
Yeah.
My next offer, I was very, very, very nervous to put out, and it did really well. It did really, really well. That was a course called Self-Awareness 101. We did, what I found as well during that course was like the retention was really great. So it was like a 7-week course. Basically everyone did the 7 weeks that committed to it. Like, it was like obviously engaging. So I was like, okay, like this feels quite good. And the other cool thing as well is that first course was like a 4-month course, that one, the one that failed. And I think that it was the time was too long, not for a group program in general, but for me to hold that space.
Mm.
Right. I'd never done anything. The longest I'd done up until that point was a 4-week course. And here I am going, oh, let's do 4 months. The universe is like, not yet, not yet.
You're like, let's hop in.
Your role.
You know? And so then I did Self-Awareness 101. That was 7 weeks. And then we did P2P. That's 3 months.
Yeah.
And then, and that was the most successful launch that I've had. I think that was like a $25,000 launch. It was fucking crazy. And then now we're doing a mastermind with Purpose to Paycheck as well. For anyone who moves through Purpose to Paycheck, they get the option to join the mastermind as well. So, you know, and that's going to be 6 months. So of course that 4-month one didn't work. And we only know this stuff in hindsight, right? Like, we only know that. And that's the one thing that my coach always said to me. She was like, you're getting your stripes. You're earning your stripes in business. Like, yes, you had a failure. That means that you're trying something, that you're putting yourself to your edge. Yes. I tried to do something that I probably wasn't ready for, which is great. And I would have never known that if I hadn't had tried. And so when it comes to failure, I welcome it now. I really do. Like, and even when it was happening, I was like, I was calling it a failure. I was like, oh, I had a failed launch. And it didn't feel like, it felt like I was lying.
Yeah.
Even though I was telling the truth, like, I felt like I was lying. I was like, this doesn't feel right for what I just experienced. It didn't feel like it was disappointing, but it didn't feel like I was failing.
Mm.
And so it is true what they say. Like, if you're not failing, you're not being creative enough. You're not dreaming hard enough or big enough. You know, it's been those moments where I've written down a crazy number, a number that seemed crazy to me, right? Or like, you know, for a month of money that I wanted to earn or whatever. And it's those moments where you go, oh, fuck. I remember even, this is another one. Like, I remember when I was leaving my corporate job. So I left my corporate job I headed my resignation in July. I left in the August of 2020. In that January of 2020, I'd had my business for 3 months. And I wrote down for my goals for the year or my visions for the year that I would love to leave my job by the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like, that was like, could I actually do that? Is that actually available for me? Is that kind of silly to write that down? Like, is that unrealistic? Well, it could happen. Like, a year's a pretty long time. Like, it could happen. And it happened within 6 months, basically. And I decided probably way before that. I obviously, this was before the pandemic. This was all that. I didn't know about any of that stuff coming up, you know? So little did I know that I'd have the time, the space, all that sort of stuff. And I was failing. I started to fail at that job. And so the reason I kind of wanted to point that out is because failure can also point you in the direction, could also be a signal that this isn't the right thing for you. When you start to do things and they stop working, something's off. I always say, like, that's how the universe communicates to us. Like, something's off And it's not because it's not for you. It's just maybe not now, or something better is in mind. You know what I mean? So failure is a really powerful tool, I find, in business in particular, and also just in our lives in general. You know, whether it's a failure of a relationship or, you know, whatever it may be, it's important to understand that it's a moment for pause. It's a moment for, hang on, what do I actually want? How can I surrender? How can I release my expectations? How can I just come back to what I know is true and start to figure out a way to move forward, and gather it as information? Like, what information did you learn from that? I used to say to a friend of mine all the time, like, a lesson, a regret stays a regret until you realize the lesson in it. Right? Like, it's so important. And that's what failure, I think, can do for us too. So
yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
Beautiful. And what I'm hearing through that as well is not letting failure like mean something about your worth as well, because
It doesn't define you. It's like so not personal.
Yeah. Yeah, incredible.
Particularly in business too.
Yes, exactly.
I think it's different when we talk about it in the context of relationship. I think it can feel really personal, but even then it's not, right? If someone doesn't like you, it's not about you. It's just like, it doesn't mean no one likes you, right? It's just like, it's just like not in alignment. And I even noticed, like, you know, but when I was dating before I met Dan, like, just the way that I dealt with, I guess, like, rejection, or although I really didn't really date for that long, to be quite honest, but even just some of the dates that I went on, like, I just was so like, I was so open-minded. I was so like expecting the best, hopeful, happy, blah, 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 but also expected absolutely nothing from the experience as well. And I think that's how I attracted him, is because I just was so open, but also so firm and like grounded and strong in what I wanted. And I think it's the same thing that happens in business when you fail, right? You have that really strong, like, no, like, I know that I'm on purpose. Like, I have all these amazing one-on-one clients, and I have all these, you know, have this happening and this happening and this happening, and my Instagram's growing, and I'm collaborating with Abby Chatfield, and I'm doing this, I'm doing that. Like, it was just, you know, I was, so much was happening at the time. I just was like, no, like, I'm good. It's just not, this has nothing to do with me.
Yes.
You know, maybe if I run this again next year, it might be a thing. And so whatever, but it's like, everything happens exactly as it's supposed to. And particularly with business, like, it's definitely not personal or anything to do with your purpose. You know, that's something that's so innate, but also something that's so connected to the universe. Like, it's something that you co-create on so, so deeply. So know that, yeah, it's something, there's other energies at play here. It's not just you. So don't ever take it personally.
Yeah. I love that.
So I'm just like marinating in all the words. I'm just like having the best time. This is like so good.
Brilliant.
And I just, oh my God, like, the lessons around failure is just everything. I know for me, like, you know, I only really stepped fully into my business while still working full time. In July, it's October now. I've already quit my job because my day job that I had so much fear around leaving the money and that consistency, just like you said, Jazz, it wasn't working. I used to be really good at it. I used to, things flowed, and it's like every speed bump was coming my way. Everything was changing. Everything was getting more difficult. And I was like, okay, universe, like, I fucking hear you. I'll go. Like, and you just have, sometimes you just have to listen to those. Like you said, it wasn't a reflection of me and me not putting in the work anymore. I was still doing everything I used to do. It just wasn't in alignment anymore. And I just really had to listen, and I had to say to the fear, we're going to be okay, because what's coming up is bigger and better than I could imagine. And I would have never imagined that, like, 4 months into my business, I would have handed in my resignation. Like, and I'm not, I, like, you know, and similar to, you know, like, I haven't really made that much money in it. Like, I'm, you know, it wouldn't be enough to kind of like live off right now, but I'm like, you know what? I just know that once I open the space, it will come to me.
That's exactly.
And I've exactly just got to go.
That's exactly it. Because I mean, similar thing happened to me, right? Like, well, I was lucky because the pandemic how bad is this to say, but I was lucky because the pandemic hit and essentially I was supposed to go overseas in May. So the pandemic hit in like the March or whatever. And then we all kind of got like asked to go on leave. So because I wasn't going on my holiday and I still had heaps of leave left because I never took leave. They were like, can you basically take, like, I think I took 7 weeks off. And I was like, yeah, like I was going to go away for 6 weeks anyway, like whatever, like I'll just take it. It's not a big deal. So I took my leave and I just utilized that 2 months to just act as if my business was my only job. Like I literally worked on my business the whole time. And I remember I started my email list and I did a women's circle and I was on Instagram more often and it just was really, really good. And you know, I think I made 1 month, I think I made like $4,000 or something in my business. And that's what my base salary or it ended up being because I was on leave. Like that's basically what I got from my job. And I was like, oh, like shit. And so then when I went back, I think I went back in like the June or something, but I remember when they called me to come back, I like cried. Like I legit like sunk down in my seat and just like cried because I didn't want to go back and I was having so much fun. And so it's exactly the same, Beth. It's like, you know, it's fucking scary. Like this is crazy. I've only been doing this for so long. I don't even have enough followers. I don't have this. I don't have that, whatever. But it's like when you, like, this is what you're creating whilst working full time. Imagine what you could create if this was the only thing that you did. Of course it's going to work. Like it doesn't make sense for it not to work if it's already working now. So I think that's what I would say as well to anyone who's just thinking about making that leap, right? And it kind of feels like a quantum leap, but is it really? You're basically just moving some chess pieces around. That's kind of how I like to think about it.
I love that. I'm so obsessed with this conversation. And I just can't stop thinking this is just such full circle, you know. Mentorship has played such a huge part in my journey. I know in Abby's, I know in Absolutely. Yours as well, Jasmine, mine, in your yeah. story. And I think, to have you on in this conversation about, you know, what's kind of brought us all together, what's helped us, what's healed us, is such a beautiful testament to that, to the power of mentorship and to the power of community and of women empowering women. Like it just fills my heart right now. Like we have so much power when we hold each other up and when we don't go, oh, well, they did this, so I'm going to do that. No, let's all stand up as our own people and be sharing what we're so innately good at is so powerful. I'm just filled with so much love and I'm so grateful for you for you coming too. On. And I feel like this at the end of every podcast, but especially, yeah, just like the biggest heartfelt thank you to you for this and for everything in the past. I mean, we coached together for a year, which I still can't believe.
I'm still going. I'm like, you can't get rid of me. Sorry, Jazz.
Yeah, I'm like, please don't go. Like I know. And that's the thing, you know, and thank you so much for saying that, Beth, because I feel exactly the same because no, like let's hold each other up. And I think sometimes we all want that. Like I like to think that we do want our friends or our female counterparts to do well, but we do also live in a society and we've also been raised to be pinned against each other. And so it's not just about going, well, let's just empower each other now. Like, no, like let's heal the shit that stops us. Let's do the work. Let's understand our own internalized misogyny and how the patriarchy works. And also just, you know, the oppression of the feminine and being in toxic feminine versus divine, that work is important. Super, super important. So if you're someone who really struggles with that and you want to be empowering, it's okay if you are still triggered by other women's success. And I know that, and I hope that I'm creating, or I'm not creating, but I'm empowering women to step forth and provide safe spaces for women who feel like that, to help them heal, to help them alchemize, to help them transform, to help them step into their own divinity Because when you're in your divine feminine, all you want is for people to do well. Mm-hmm. Like literally, I've got clients who literally just left my container to go and join Beth's container. And I literally don't feel bad.
I know I shouldn't.
This is what I'm saying, right? Like this is it right now. Mm. I literally, one of my clients messaged me, she's like, oh, I'm going to do Soul Power with Beth. I literally wanted to cry, like happy tears. Like I was like, fuck yes. Because we've worked together so much. My mentor's done the same thing for me. Like there is absolutely nothing wrong with that. Like, but that also means that you have to have a really strong, like solid base, because there are a lot of people who aren't like that. I have best friends who I've had to let go of because they felt uncomfortable by the fact that I was having, you know, $10,000 months, first $10,000 months of my business and all these things. It can be triggering, but just know that that trigger isn't your fault, but it is your responsibility to heal. And fortunately, you have beautiful women like Abby and Beth and myself that are here to hold space for you. And we invite you to learn from us so that you can step into your power and then transfer that to somebody else as well. And it's just, again, I think that today has been such a beautiful like chain reaction. I guess the result of a beautiful chain reaction of so many women empowering other women and healing their shit so that they can be of service. And believe me, it's a much more comfortable place to be when you're like this with other women. And when it happens to you, you're just like, cool. Bye, Felicia. Like you're just like, see ya. You know, so it's a much more happy and joyous place to be when you're just happy for other women, but it's not easy. So that's the other thing I wanted to say there too.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like that temporary discomfort for such an incredible reward and such an incredible feeling going forward in your life. So I love everything you said and can 100% attest to that as being someone who's gone through the work that you facilitate and, you know, being empowered by so many women in my life, like both of you. So, again, thank you so much for being on this podcast. We are truly honored and really grateful for you, for everything you've done and for being on here today. So thank you so much, Jazz.
My pleasure, babe. And yeah, thank you so much for having me. And if anyone needs to find me, I would just say like, please come over and join the Instagram fam. That's where we're at. It's just at Jazz Borey because we have so much fucking cool shit happening. I've kind of just dropped a couple clues, but like things are becoming so much more exciting and we're really just excited about just so many different offers from free to, you know, high ticket items. Like we're just really excited for all the things that are coming up. So yeah, definitely hop over onto Instagram and connect with me but yeah, thank you guys so much. I'm so fucking proud of you guys. You are literal beams of light in this world. And I'm just so honored to have been a part. I like to think I had a little something to do with this.
It was everything, Jazz.
Yeah, literally.
So I'm just so excited to see and watch you guys grow with this beautiful new project. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much. And we'll have all of Jazz's details down in the show notes. Because like, even as you were talking, I was like, fuck, I'm interested. You've piqued my interest, Jazz. But yeah, love you so much. And we'll see everyone next week. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Mystic Millennial podcast.
If you enjoyed this episode, please share, leave a review, and make sure to subscribe so you never miss an ep. Thank you.
Bye.